Anthony Everard, the chief operations officer for the Big Bash League, joins us in the Macquarie Radio commentary box. Anthony, good to have you with us. We'll talk about the enormous success of the summer in a moment, but the weather issue, you've dodged a bullet because there doesn't seem to be any answer to the shortened T20 game that does exist through Duckworth Lewis in the 50-over contest. These seem to be too short, and the thinking is that Duckworth Lewis doesn't really work.
Yeah, I think at this stage of the tournament, you want the outcome to be decided based on a full 40 overs, and fingers crossed we'll see that tonight.
Yeah, you would have had your fingers crossed during the course of the afternoon because it wasn't looking terribly good.
Anthony, beg your pardon there. Just to go over some old ground, but I think it's very topical again with the final system in the Big Bash. I know in my previous life as a coach, I spoke to you about this, and many coaches have discussed it. The team that finishes on top, and this year it's the Adelaide Strikers as it was last year. They win 7 games, lose 1 last night. Usman Khawaja plays a very special innings. The Thunder, and it's a great story, the Sydney Thunder, they've made it through. Is there serious discussion about changing the final system to perhaps give the top two sides a second opportunity in the finals?
Certainly not off the back of last night's results. I think the Strikers certainly accepted that they were probably beaten by a better team on the night. But, as we've spoken about in the past, it's something that we have reviewed each year, and we'll do that again in a couple of months' time. It's not something we look at in isolation, though. I think we'll look at the overall BBL schedule in its entirety.
Yep.
And the question is always, if we're going to drop an extra game in, call it a preliminary final,
yes,
something's got to give. So the challenge for us, obviously, is with the T20 internationals being played next week, we want to make sure that the best T20 players are available for BBL finals. So it is a bit of a juggling act.
Don't you think, though, I appreciate scheduling's a difficult one, and I'm perhaps looking forward to next year now, and I see that there's probably an extended period for the Big Bash at the back end of January where we're only asking for one more day. And I think the fans, I really do, and I'll be interested on Twitter what they think about the top two sides getting an advantage. So not on the back of last night,
yep,
but 4 years in a row, Anthony, the top team, sadly, has bundled out in a semi-final. And I believe that there should be a second opportunity for that team.
Yeah, look, I think you mentioned potentially the schedule next year. The other thing that that I think is new to us is this year we've tried a couple of different time slots which have worked really well. So we've had the late-night doubleheaders in Perth.
Yep, yep.
We had a twilight fixture, the 4-7 game on the East Coast, followed by a 7-10. From an attendance and a rating perspective, they were fantastic. So that actually gives us a bit more flexibility to find some days within what's already a very tight window. So, yeah, look, we're keeping an open mind, and as I said, we will be talking about that within a month or so.
Sounds to me, Tim, as though we might not be getting a preliminary final next year. Will we? Can I ask you another one about... I think the competition is fantastic. Credit to you and everyone at Cricket Australia. It has been unbelievable. When you get 80,000 people to a domestic cricket match, I've been lucky enough to be in Adelaide, 50,000 people. It's far outweighed any expectation that I had. Where are we at as far as settling on 8 teams? Is there talk of expanding to a 10-team competition anywhere in the next year or two?
No, there's not. And we touched on this actually before this season got underway. We had a session with our board and really looked at what's the, 5 years in, what's the plan for the next 5 years? And,
yep,
and there was a pretty strong view that now is not the right time to be introducing new teams, which is not to say that we don't have growth aspirations. I think we've obviously seen a lot of success with BBL and reflecting on, I guess, the reason why we exist, which is around attracting new fans to the game, a younger audience, and so far so good. I guess the option available to us now, if it's not bringing in new teams immediately, is can we play a few extra games with the existing teams, and where would we play those games? Cricket's done a great job servicing the major metropolitan centres of Australia, but we're not really well represented in the major regional centres. So that's something that we're going to have a look at after the season, and, yeah, who knows what that looks like in the future years.
Final one from me, and I'll hand it back to Tim. Privatisation in the Big Bash, it was talked about from the outset. It didn't happen, and I was glad it didn't. Where is it at now? Because there has been a lot of talk in the media, I suppose, as to whether or not there'll be companies buying into franchises, or is it more likely to stay owned by the states, if you like?
Definitely the status quo will remain in place. So it's not, I think it was raised in the media last week or so, but not even on the radar for us at the moment. The model we've got works really well, and there's two reasons for that. One is, I guess, having that alignment of strategy that everyone has bought into the fact that this is about attracting new audiences, and we're not distracted by some of the other agendas that maybe the owners of teams might have, or even the financial objectives. So, yeah, I think what you'll find is that the existing formula will stay in place.
Has what we've seen this year been, do you see it as an indication as to where this is now going in the future, or might this be something of a flash in the pan yet? Because there have been instances, NBL, you know, end of the 80s, early 90s was on fire, and then it, you know, the whole thing almost fell apart. A-League soccer has had a peak, and it looks as though it's slipped a bit from there now. Where do you see you're going to be at into the short-term future?
Look, I think there's two encouraging things that that I guess we would look at. One is that the success of this year is not in isolation. We see this as a five-year growth curve. We had a great year last year, and I think even we're surprised by the extension of that growth into this season. So it's certainly, over a period of 5 years, is heading in the right direction. One of the other things we look at this year, different to previous years, is we've had a strong focus on the entertainment aspect of Big Bash, but at the same time, we do want fans to commit to their team and be really passionate and get that tribalism. We're on track to have sales of almost $2.5 million in apparel alone, and that's a really strong indicator for us. The fans are coming along, they're supporting their teams, they're buying the hats and shirts, and they wouldn't be doing that if they didn't care, and we think that's a really important part about the sustainability of this competition.
Chuck did have one other curly question that he wanted to ask you. Now, I don't know whether it slipped his mind or whether he's ready to go.
I think I need to slip it in. You'd be expecting it, Anthony. I don't want to go over old ground, because for me it was an unfortunate stain on the competition, a distasteful one that's been otherwise, for me, the best competition in cricket since I've been going around. But the Chris Gayle situation, let's not go over the incident. I just want to ask a simple question. Is Chris Gayle welcome back in the Big Bash next year? If he wanted to sign with a franchise, would you guys stand in the way, or is it no worries, we'll have you back, Chris?
The simple answer is we haven't formed a view on that at the moment. You know, the facts are Chris is out of contract at the moment.
Yep.
And as far as we're aware, no teams are advanced in any stage in their discussions with him. I think what we'll do is, you know, we're keen to get through the next few days and get this season completed, hopefully on a very high note. And then we'll reflect on, you know, how we handle that situation, the response from the public and all of our different stakeholders, and form a view at that time. But, we certainly aren't in a position at the moment to say yes or no one way or the other.
You haven't got a response from the public yet that satisfies you one way or the other?
Well, if it was as simple as looking at the cheer that he got the other night at Etihad, you'd probably say yes. But look, Chris is a great entertainer. That's never been in question. What he's done on the field,
and great cricketer.
He's a great cricketer. So, you know, in some respects, that's why we were so disappointed, because he has so much to offer this competition. And we saw, you know, on that night in Hobart, what he did on the field, and I was at the game at Etihad. It just brings an energy and an excitement that not many players can. So. I think, you know, we just need to reflect on it once we get the season under our belts and give it some thought at that time.
Anthony, we're getting close to match time. We'll let you slip away. Congratulations.
Yeah, well done.
Fantastic season. It has really been an incredible story in the history of Australian sport, and it'll be fascinating to see where it goes from here.
Thank you, and I hope we have a great night tonight, and may the best team win.